father is on.
Dear Father, let me pray to you. I got so much to say to you. I was taught not to play with you, so I don't know why I do all the things that I do. First tell my daddy, I said, what it do? Hey dad, we love you and we missing you. Even though you went away at 52, Lord, I know it's better cause he's here with you. Been kinda nervous to take bigger steps, fear the higher heights and the deeper depths. I was cool with the mission that you gave me last, but this new thing, can you pick them first and choose me last? Nevertheless, I'll do what you say. I'll get at it every single night and every day. Let your kingdom come, your will be done. Use my wife, my daughter, and my son.
As you move up, many devils to this, and let every devil throw pebbles to this. Rooted so deep, bring yourself to this. Think we stopping you wrong already. Promote Christ so he known already. My team deep and too strong already. You too late for we pack up the truck and we all jumping in. Taking my soldiers and leaving my friends. We call the kingdom the business of men. Thanking the Lord for another son. I'm preparing the way like another job. The kingdom come, we ain't never done. New levels to this is another one. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's time to go, time to go, to another level. It's time to go, time to go, to another level.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Runner for Christ Ministry Saturday Church School. The questions are available on rfcm.org. Choose Bible classes and then click Church School Saturday. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, precious Lord, we thank you for your grace and mercy and power. We thank you for love, friendship, fellowship, and for your word and your presence. We ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who is listening and all who will participate in this Saturday church school class. We ask that you give each of us a new revelation and a new understanding of you as we eat this spiritual food for the nourishment of our inner man. We ask that you cause us to have a class that is pleasing to you. With thanksgiving in Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen.
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 Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We are going to suffer with me as a facilitator instead of our usual teacher and assistant, associate pastor Janice Tate. And I'm so happy to hear that someone is out there this morning. Can someone read the key verse for the lesson today?
And may you treat me with the faithful love of the Lord as long as I live. But if I die, treat my family with the faithful love, even when the Lord destroys all your enemies from the face of the earth. 1 Samuel chapter 14 through 15.
Thank you so much, Nicole. So this is the story of Mephibosheth, and we're in 2 Samuel chapter 9, verses 1 through 13. And this is the story of Samuel's grandson. So we're going to start the chapter with verses 1 through 3. Would someone like to read verses 1 through 3 of 2 Samuel chapter 9?
The second channel, chapter 9.
Right.
Give me a minute, because I didn't get the sheet from Janice. So I'm going to be 2 Samuel, chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. Okay, read as follows. David asked, "Is there anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba. They called him to appear before David, and the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" "Your servant," he replied. The king asked, "Is there no one still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness?" Ziba answered the king, "There's still a son of Jonathan. He is crippled in both feet."
Amen. Thank you for that. So the question is, what was David's intention?
David was trying to find out. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
He wanted to show kindness to someone in Saul's family, because, you know, of his love for Jonathan.
Exactly right. And which is unusual, because normally the new kingdom would kill all the members of the old kingdom so that they wouldn't have any competition or anyone from the old kingdom trying to get the throne. So question number two is, who is Mephibosheth and what was his condition? So will somebody read 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 4?
It says, "Where is he?" the king asked. In Lo Debar, Ziba told him, "At home of Machir, son of Amiel."
Okay, so who is Mephibosheth and what was his condition? So Nicole said who he was. Well, did she? You said it was because of his covenant with Jonathan.
Mm-hmm.
He was so Mephibosheth
was one of Jonathan's sons.
Right. And the grandson of Saul. Mm-hmm. And what was his condition?
He was crippled in both feet. He couldn't walk.
Right, exactly right. So let's go back, because I skipped a piece. If someone would read 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 12 through 17, so we can see the covenant that David and Jonathan had.
Okay, 1 Samuel, can you repeat
1 Samuel, mm-hmm, chapter 20, verses 12 through 17.
Okay, it says, then Jonathan told David, I promise by the Lord, the God of Israel, that by this time tomorrow or the next day at the latest, I will talk to my father and let you know at once how he feels about you. If he speaks favorably about you, I will let you know. But if he is angry and wants you killed, may the Lord strike me and even kill me if I don't warn you so you can escape and live. May the Lord be with you as he used to be with my father. And may you treat me with the faithful love of the Lord as long as I live. But if I die, treat my family with this faithful love, even when the Lord destroys all your enemies from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a solemn pact with David, saying, may the Lord destroy all your enemies. And Jonathan made David reaffirm his vow and friendship again, for Jonathan loved David as he loved himself.
Thank you. So David and Jonathan had a oath, a pact.
Mm-hmm.
And David held to it. So question number three is, where was Mephibosheth living?
Lodabar.
And Lodabar means a nothing town. So he was orphaned, in poverty, and living in fear of being killed. So would someone read verses 5 through 7 in chapter 9 of 2 Samuel?
So King David had him brought from Lodabar, from the house of Machir, son of Amiel. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. David said, Mephibosheth, your servant, he replied. Don't be afraid, David said to him, for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father, Jonathan. I will restore you to all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table.
Amen. Thank you. So how did David show mercy, justice, and righteousness to Mephibosheth?
He gave him back everything that he thought he lost.
Right. And he was being kind where he wasn't expected to be kind.
I like when you told him not to be afraid.
Right. And he invited him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he invited him to eat at his table.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which is so amazing kindness.
What?
Yeah, because if his grandfather had been king, he would be eating at the table. But and so David restored to him what was rightfully his.
His rightful legal inheritance. Yeah, exactly right.
So what was David's and Saul's relationship?
So Saul was the previous king, and David was the up-and-coming king or the replacement.
And
so,
how did Saul feel about David? Right. Yeah.
Saul was burnt up about it. He was angry enough to try to do David harm. Let's see. So what was significant about him eating at David's table?
Okay.
Other than it was his rightful place, what did that mean?
David was the king.
He was royalty.
Important, somebody of importance. Mm-hmm.
Right. And who else would be at the table of David's reign?
The family,
right. The sons, the wives. So that means that Mephibosheth is seen as family.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, question number six is, how did Mephibosheth see himself? Would someone read verse 8 of chapter 9, 2 Samuel?
Okay, Mephibosheth bowed respectfully and exclaimed, who is your servant that you should show such kindness to a dead dog like me? So he considered himself like a dead dog.
Yes, exactly. Well, he was hiding out in the house of Machir, in the nothing town. So it's a word play.
Mm-hmm.
A nobody, a nothing from nowhere. And he considered himself as a dead dog. Okay, so what about verses 9 through 13? Would somebody read that?
Then the king summoned Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him and to bring in the crops so that your master's grandson may be provided for. And Mephibosheth, grandson of your master, will always eat at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, your servant will do whatever my lord, the king, commands his servants to do. So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son named Micah, and all the members of Ziba's household were servants of Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem because he always ate at the king's table, and he was crippled in both feet.
Wow, thank you.
You're welcome.
So the question number 7 is, what else did David do for Mephibosheth, and what impact would it have? So the answer is in verse 10.
Doing your sons and servants out to farm the land all to produce food for the master's household, but Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, would be able to eat here. Oh, he allowed his grandson to eat at his table.
The grandson, but also something else. In the beginning of the verse,
you and your sons are to farm the land. Okay. he set up a place for whatever, to be productive and to be able to feed and farm for their self as well on the land.
Right.
Get land. Mm-hmm.
Right. So he showed kindness to them when normally mm-hmm. the king would have them killed, and he sought him out to show kindness to him. And then he invited them to eat at his table like family.
Mm-hmm.
And then he arranged for him to have servants and restored the land that he normally would have inherited, gave it all back to him, and
mm-hmm.
provided servants for him.
Hmm.
So, yeah, he provided help to maintain his inheritance.
He completely restored him.
Completely restored.
Made him a boss.
Made him a boss.
Yes, and so, gave him provision.
And provision.
He didn't have to ask for food or depend on David for food. He was able to have crops himself and be independent.
Absolutely. So question number 8 is, what was Mephibosheth's physical and social condition after David sent for him?
Well, his physical condition, he was handicapped.
Right.
That's to say, he's crippled in both feet. But his social condition was that I'm running things now. This is mine.
He went from nothing to the king's table. Yes. And he had servants. And was he poor?
Not anymore,
no.
Probably.
No.
He had everything
right.
he needed.
Do you think he was afraid after David sent for him?
It said, David said, God told him not to be afraid in verse 7. So apparently, and like he said, he had been hiding out because he was concerned. What you said in the beginning, that most of the people in that line, if another king came up, they would get rid of everybody else.
Right. Mm-hmm. But he was still crippled physically, even though his
mm-hmm.
social conditions changed. All right. Question number 9. Whose life does David display and how?
Jesus.
Yes.
He kept his covenant. He redeemed us when we were nothing. And shared his inheritance with us.
Yes. Invited us to sit at the
eat at his
table.
Yes.
So what is Mephibosheth a picture of?
Our redemption.
So David displays the life of God. He reveals to us how God responds to those he loves and is in covenant with. All right. Question number 10. Mephibosheth went from the palace to the pit, back to the palace. What is his life a picture of?
Joseph,
yeah. But also something else.
Jesus, he gave up everything to come here. And he went back home. And he's sitting at the right hand of God.
Mm-hmm. Restored to the rightful place of honor.
Absolutely. But also, he's a picture of something else, too.
Is it mankind, us?
Yes.
We were with God in the garden.
Right.
We got kicked out.
We got kicked out.
And we restored. And we get to rule and reign with Christ as co-heirs with the King of Kings.
With the King of Kings. And so are we also crippled spiritually?
Oh, yeah. And physically.
Yeah. All right, so
when they say can't get right, we
okay, so Pastor Janice wrote, the life of Mephibosheth is a picture of the life of people before and after they are saved through Jesus Christ. Humanity lived with God in the garden. Sin placed us in death, the pit, but salvation has placed us back in the palace with full inheritance.
Amen.
Amen.
That's beautiful.
Amen. Yeah.
It is. So, I don't know what to do with the rest of our time, because that is the end of the lesson.
I don't know. What? It was short and sweet.
It was short and sweet.
Mm-hmm. And very enlightening.
Yeah. Okay, what's your question? Oh.
Okay, question.
Did I miss
no,
you?
No, I'm still there. No, you didn't miss here. I'm just saying to myself, no. You say you already know the answer. What book in the epistles tells us that we are restored?
Which one?
Yeah, just what book tells us that, this is just off the top of my head, I'm running, what book tells us that we are restored, that we've been placed and, okay, better than that. What word tells us? It starts with the A, that we've been put back in the place of honor.
Oh.
It's in the book of Ephesians.
In Ephesians, and it's only one word?
Yeah, just starts with the A.
Is it atonement?
Well, no. When we've been brought back into a family.
I don't know.
Okay, say somebody Go ahead.
No, I don't know. I'm just thinking out.
Somebody goes out. What do you do when you go out and see a child that doesn't have a family?
Adopt.
Adopt.
Yeah. Oh, adopt.
Yeah.
Adopt.
Mm-hmm. So we've been adopted?
You know, in Ephesians, when it tells us that we've been adopted in family, rightful heirs, you know, and when we know we didn't deserve any of that. But,
right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry about that.
No, that was good. We've been adopted.
And I think that's what keeps us. Mm-hmm. And that's what, like, I was thinking about Mephibosheth. He didn't have to, like you said, what stuck him, was sticking in my head when you said that he was afraid. He really didn't know what was going to happen to him. Mm-hmm. But now, and you know, when he got to this place where he had everything back, he still stayed humble. From what you just taught me this morning, he still stayed humble. You didn't see where he was lording himself over anybody else or anything like that. Yeah, and that, you know, I never looked at this passage like that until you brought that out. You and Nicole, y'all brought that out to me this morning. He still was, you don't hear about anything going crazy with him. And at the same time, he had every reason in the world to be fearful of what was going on, to maybe doubt what David was saying. But I'm good, because we really don't need anything.
He was grateful for that.
That's exactly. He was grateful for that. Exactly. Thank you.
And then I think about how he should have been given death, except he was given life.
That is good. Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And we don't deserve anything that we get when you really look at it. But the word tells us that we, you know what I mean, that we're supposed to be thankful for everything that we got. I like what you just said. He should have been given death, but he's given life. Anyway, I don't want to talk to y'all no more.
Yeah, Mephibosheth is a beautiful picture of us. It is a beautiful picture of the fall of humanity being restored. It is a beautiful individual picture of each and every one of us. We can all say that we are Mephibosheth. We used to belong to another kingdom. Let's face that. We used to belong to Satan. We were in his kingdom. That's what happened in the garden. When Adam and Eve fell, Satan became the head, okay? And that's why Jesus said in chapter 3, I got to crush the head. I'm going to crush his head. That means he's going to crush his power, his authority, his rule over us. And so just like Mephibosheth, when Jesus came, members, just like when Joseph's brothers showed up, you know, they thought that they were going to be killed, but instead they received mercy. It is the same way with us. We were opposite of the kingdom of God. And so Jesus came and restored us back to the kingdom, just like Mephibosheth was restored. And like these songs say, everything that the devil stole, God given back to me, everything that we lost in the garden when he became the head, Jesus came and crushed that head. And when we accepted Christ, and we responded like Mephibosheth in humility and humbled ourselves unto him, then he began to lift us up. That's what the word says, right? When you humble yourself under him, he lifts you up. Now, those who exalt themselves, on the other hand, those who try to live without God and not respect his sovereignty, those he abases. And so there's so many. Such a beautiful metaphor of how God restored us, because all of us were crippled, okay? We were broken from the floor, tore up from the floor up. We were out of place, out of pocket, whatever you want to call it, right? We were that. But then Jesus came and said, is there anybody left from humanity that I can show God's kindness to? And so he came and gave his life. And he restored us. And now, like Mephibosheth, because of Jesus, we can sit at the table. We can sit at God's table, even though we were those who are crippled. Even now, we can, our cup runneth over. Even now, mm-hmm. in the face of our enemies, he prepares for us a table of plenty. So, yeah, we all Mephibosheth. All of us had our fall. And all of us, mm-hmm. because of Christ, have a seat at the table now.
So, thank you. And, you know, you said something that, like, really came to light for me, is that David went and found Mephibosheth the same way Christ came and found us.
Yes.
He didn't have to fall down and beg or find David. And that's amazing. Thank you.
Isn't that amazing that God seeks us out? And that started back in the garden. Mm-hmm. Adam and Eve, they ran away from God, tried to hide. But God sought mm-hmm. them out. They didn't even ask to be restored to him. He made a way for them to be restored to them. And apparently they accepted it. They accept the covering, the sacrifice God made of those animals and that blood that was spilled for them being restored. And that same story just carries out all the way through the Bible. People falling down, God getting them back up. All of humanity fell down. God gave us Noah to give us an ark to bring us across. A type of, there are so many types of Christ. And this story, when Pastor Tate sent this to me for this class, you know, I loved it. The First Fruit Living Ministries, Lachelle Anderson, this is the scripture that runs her ministry. She thinks about, who can I show God's kindness to? And so that's what her ministry is all about. And so when I saw that, you know, I knew exactly where she was going, especially the question about how did David show God's justice, righteousness, and mercy? You know, because those are his moral attributes, right, at work. You know, and he brought justice. He did righteous and showed a lot of mercy. And that was awesome. It was an awesome class, awesome something for us to think about, a way for us to treat other people. Who can we show God's kindness to? And there are so many people in this world today. Dr. Tony Evans literally has a kindness ministry going on right now. So that we can get rid of some of this hostility that exists in the world, where kids are rolling balls into people's yard and we're shooting them, and, you know, and people knocking on doors and getting shot, and little girls are driving up in the wrong driveway and getting shot. So kindness is something that we as the church should be, we should be moved by this lesson. I thank Pastor Tate for it. We should be moved by this lesson to say every day, who can I show, is there anybody left outside of the house of God, of the house of Satan? Because Saul and David wasn't real friends, you know what I mean? They didn't, David tried to be his friend, but he kept trying to kill him. It's hard to be friends with somebody that's trying to kill you all the time. So they eventually had to separate. But then David thought, past all of that hostility, and said, is there anybody left from the house of David, especially thinking about Jonathan, because that was his boy, right? And so he wanted to show God's kindness to somebody who, like Nicole brought out, like it was brought out in the class by others, somebody who should have been killed because you're a threat to the new kingdom, so you got to go. But no, like, we were a threat to the kingdom, but, well, not that much of a threat. God wasn't that worried about us. He was more concerned about showing grace and mercy. But Mephibosheth, rather than being the norm, destroyed reconciliation is what happened. And the Lord, if you want to know what moves God more than anything else, the reconciliation, that is his thing. Think about it. He gave up his son so he could have reconciliation, so he could reconcile the whole, as 2 Corinthians 5 say, reconcile the whole world back to himself. That's what moves the Lord. If you really want to be involved with God, get involved with reconciliation, because that's what he does all day. He's been doing it since the garden. He reconciled himself back to Adam and Eve. He reconciled himself to Noah. He reconciled himself to Abraham, to Isaac and Jacob, and to Joseph, and to Moses, to Joshua, even them crazy judges, the whacked out kings, and then came Jesus. And then when Jesus came, through him, God reconciled the world back to himself. And guess what? God has given us this ministry of reconciliation. It's as if God is making his appeal to all man through us. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we now we're reconcilers. We can bring Mephibosheth back to the table. The Lord has given us that kind of authority under him to bring people to the table, to invite them into God's house so they can go to the place that Jesus prepared for them. I'm preaching. I ain't even supposed to be preaching. I'm supposed to be off. Jesus sneaking the sermon in. Amen. But this is, you know, nothing excites the Lord more than reconciliation, because as 2 Peter 3 and 9 say, it's God's will that none perish, but all come to everlasting life. And that's our role as Christians, is to be like David. Is there anybody left outside the house of God that we can show God's kindness to, that we can be the light of the world, that we can be the salt of the earth? So I sit in all of Pastor State classes, and she does an excellent job at making these things, understandable, and so we can make them applicable in our everyday walk with Christ, and that's the awesomeness of this class. Rebecca has done an awesome job, and the points were brought out. Okay, and the things that we take away, all of this that I'm saying come from what I heard while y'all was talking. So I'm just taking, stealing what y'all said, and it got me excited. Just listening to y'all talk got me excited. And when you look at that picture of Mephibosheth, I mean, really, that is a picture of how God is reconciled, bringing everybody on earth back to the table. Willing to overlook everything that would be an obstacle to them coming to the table. And he can do that because of Christ. David could do it because he was king. Jesus can do it because he's king. He's the great king, like they call David. But David said, my Lord said to my Lord. Amen. Anyway.
Amen.
Thank
you, Pastor. But I guess I'll pray us out.
Okay.
Heavenly Father, thank you for waking us all up again and for this spiritual breakfast we had together. Thank you for giving us enlightenment and showing us how to be more and more like you each day. We ask that you continue to bless and keep us and give us the wisdom to do the thing you put us here to do in a way that pleases you. And we ask for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Deaconess Clyburn.
Oh, I sat. I had myself on mute. I was just talking away. Hey there, thank you, Sister Rebecca, as always. Thanks for standing in for Sister Janice, and you did real well with the class, and we had good participation. And just thank everybody for participating. I always say, what did I always say? I want to say too much.
Be the reason somebody smiled today.
Be the reason somebody smiled. See, we're starting a little early today, and I'm rushing a little bit. So, yes, be the reason someone smiled today. Just kill people with kindness, and, boy, that'll go a long ways. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yep. So I guess we're going to start our morning service. It's always good to be kind to people and just, you know, make people smile and things like that. It's just it's less energy. It's less energy when you I think they say it's more energy when you are frowning, but less energy when you're smiling. So use that energy wisely and be kind to people. Fill them with kindness. Yep. So, well, I guess we're going to start early today. We could do a few songs. Thanks, everybody, for participating. And remember, if you're not participating in the next part of the service, just depress your one or press one again, and then that'll take you off the host queue. Okay, and we're just going to start our morning service. So get your cookies, your crumpets, your coffee, your tea, and after this selection and maybe two selections, we're going to start our morning worship service, okay?
The outpouring of your spirit till I can't take no more. I need you, Lord, right now. Fill me up again. I cannot move on without you. Do like you did way back when. I need you, Lord, right now.
take me to be everything that you want me to be.
Yes,
I'm here.
Say it.
Watch your love.
Amen. Make me to be everything that you want me to be. Amen. Don't you know God knows better than we what we should be? And so we should say, as Pastor Canton Jones just said, make me to be that you want me to be. And that's going to be the best for you. Yes, I remember telling the Lord a long time ago that, you know, whatever your plans are for me are going to be the best plans for me. My plans suck compared to yours. Amen. Can you say suck on the radio? I hope so, because I just said. Anyway, amen. Some other words the Lord wants to hear. These are words of surrender. You know, I love it. I was listening to Marvin Sapp yesterday. He saw the best in me, and I love the part where he says, he's mine, and I'm his. Amen. And you know the rest of it. It doesn't matter what I did. He only sees me for who I am. Well, guess what? The Lord is waiting for us to tell him, I'm yours.
Can we lift that? You can have all. You can have all of me. Sing, have all of me. Tell them I'm yours. I give you all of me. Give you all of me. Give you all of me. Now connect your heart with your mouth. You can have all of me. Have all of me. Have all. Say, I'm yours. You all of me, I'm yours. You can have all. Cry out a sound of surrenderance tonight. Come on, I won't feed it to you. Our prayer tonight is that's our heart's cry. It sounds great, put some music, but it doesn't matter if it's not in your heart. It means nothing if you just say it with your mouth. So tonight my prayer is that you match your confession with your heart's posture. God, tonight as we cry out, God, you can have all of me. God, we expose every hidden thing. Every secret thing, every dirty thing we don't want anyone to see. God, tonight we give it to you. Yes, you can have all of us. Have all of us. Have all of us. Sing, I'm yours. I'm sing, I give you all. Give you all of me. Give you all.
All of me, I am yours. Yes, yes. First, I want to happy to announce and share with me and congratulations to our Runner for Christ Ministries awesome Pastor O, Lady Sheila, Shebe, Baby Holy Ghost, Runner for Christ Ministries family for 20 years in service to the Lord. And we have been celebrating all the whole month of April. Amen. Happy anniversary, Runner for Christ Ministries, for 20 years of good leadership. Amen. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world, to Running for Christ Ministry Saturday Morning Worship Service. I am Kathy Clive, and your presiding person for this Saturday Morning Worship Experience, brought to you by Running for Christ Ministry, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly. And we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with our scripture and proclamation prayer. And at Runner for Christ Ministries, we believe is vital, and the word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. And you know this is Youth Weekend, so on the 4th and or 5th Saturday and Sunday, we allow our youth to serve and participate in our morning worship service. And guess what? We have this morning to help us do so with our proclamation scripture and prayer is our very own little prince, Jackson Fagans, and Princess Kennedy Fagans. Are you guys with us this morning? Welcome. And thanks for being with us.
My name is Kennedy Fagan. And my name is Kennedy Fagans, and I will be reading the proclamation and sculpture. We resisted, proclaimed that Jesus the King, resisted as God the Son, was sent by God the Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins in accordance with the sculptures, was raised on the third day in accordance with the sculptures. Scriptures appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as ruling Christ, as has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again as the final judge to rule. All praise to God, the Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every
spiritual
blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace. He was purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysterious regarding crisis, which is to fulfill his own good plan, and this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring on earth everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan.
Okay.
May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of God, or amen. My name is Jackson Fagans. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will participate in this work service now or later. Father, we thank you today for this opportunity to offer you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. We pray that our songs, prayers, and the preached word with Jesus, so that all who are lost today will be found. We ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear you obey. We thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, It is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask for these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Prince Jackson and Princess Kennedy. You guys were awesome. Thank you so much. You know, Jackson and Kennedy, they sing in our little kids choir at church, and they are just so happy to do it, and they are really into it when they are singing. And we just thank you, young people, today for serving, and you did a remarkable job. Thank you so much. Have a beautiful day. Okay, now that we have acknowledged our ways into the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own Shepherd Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
I'm letting go of all that's behind me. I'm moving on to what lies before me. I'm available, please use me.
Choice, smart enough to know. Lock a knife on me. I don't know where I would be.
Think like that. Think about it like this. Everything you've ever had, God knew you would have it before you got it. So everything you're going to get, God already knows you're going to get it. It's already yours. God don't have to make nothing. He entered into rest on the seventh day. He ain't got to make nothing new. It's already here. You just got to use your faith to bring it out. Amen. You have to make it manifest. That's why he gave you faith, so you can learn how to use it. You don't need a whole lot. You just need a mustard seed. Had a chance last night to sit in on Bring Back the Family. Awesome discussion. They were talking about suicide, teen suicide. And they had an awesome guest on who was willing to share and had suffered like you wouldn't believe. But out of that, out of those ashes came a beautiful plant. Amen. And she gave her testimony and gave all kinds of advice on things to look out. Our youth, our young people are going through something today. They're facing a world that we did not have to face. Yeah, we had some scary stuff going on, but it wasn't like it is today. You didn't go to school and get stabbed. And I mean, you didn't go to, you know, these things that's happening today with our young folks weren't happening when we were coming up. It'd be a fight on the playground or after school. But nobody was AK-47 and an AR-15 and nobody. Okay, we wasn't smoking up houses with just go and light it up. And our young people are having to face not only that, but seeing their parents' finances change because inflation. They're going through a lot. They're seeing a lot. They're having to deal with a lot, not the temptations, the peer pressures. Everything's a lot of pressure on them. And we need to start paying attention to that. It wasn't like that for us. Yes, we had our stuff, but it wasn't like this. And they're afraid. And they need to know that everything is going to be all right. But they need to see us parents, us guardians, us who around children anytime, they need to see us being all right. And even when I went to my father and told him about all the ills in the world, he told me God got this. He didn't say the eels was going to go away, but he said God was going to keep the eels from destroying me. And here I am to this day, kept me. They need to know that everything is going to be all right.
Just trying to figure it out, fighting doubt, trying to believe God, trying to watch the words of my mouth and stay on the ground. Trouble come and go, even on the mountain high or the valley low. Never let your faith go. Oh,
never let your faith go.
I've been there before, so confused, don't know which way to go. Stressed out, world so crazy, might as well stay in the house. Fear trying to rise up. Got terrorist disguise,
they look like us, but we know who we trust. Just when I say that we gon' be alright, we gon' be alright.
Tell them,
we gon' be alright. Alright.
Say
we gon' be alright.
In these last days, evil times will come, and it's here today. Look at all the hate, senseless crime and murder. Human trafficking, racism, police brutality, bullying, rape, trouble, the same.
Shady abuse, the people
I pay. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done
in the earth.
Let your glory rise, let your sun shine,
let it burn.
Life is kind of tough, you know, trying to figure out where you're supposed to be in it. And, you know, when you think about our young people today, just like when we were back then coming to where we are or wherever we are now in our adult life, okay, think about it back then. Where did we belong? Who did we belong to? We would try to fit in with these people. We tried to fit in with those people. Sometimes we were just ostracized by everybody, and we had to just be alone. Nobody wanted to be around us. And so we felt like we were here in this world with billions of people in it, and yet we're alone. Have you ever felt like that? That you just don't know where you belong. You don't belong, this group don't want you, that group don't want you. Sometimes your own family don't want you. And you feel like you don't belong anywhere, to anybody, to anything. And you're left all alone in a world of 8 billion people on the island, all by yourself. Well, Jesus wants you to know where you belong. And where you belong is where he is. And Jesus wants you to know you belong here. Amen?
There is a place for me. There is a place for me. There is a place for me in the body of Christ. Yes, there is a place for me. There is a place for me. There is a place. And I belong here. Yeah, I belong here. Oh, yeah, I belong here. I belong here. Somebody like me, for somebody like you.
a place for me. There is a place for you and me. It's in the body.
Hey, and I belong.
There is a place to you. I belong to you. Pastor, thank you. Thank you for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged. Always take a step. Which takes us to Times Coffee Line. The only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the office with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you will hear is our little precious Aubrey Drake, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Minister back to Aubrey and prepare to receive our precious Aubrey Drake. Pray to the Lord. Next.
It belongs to me. Salvation belongs to me. And I have everything to make salvation complete. 'Cause I know the work is already done. By the power of his blood, I know it's mine. It belongs to me. It belongs to me. Healing belongs to me. And I have everything that makes my healing complete. It doesn't matter how I feel. When his stripes,
mine, everything you have for me. My name is Aubrey Drake. Let us go to the altar and prayer. Glory, honor, and power be to you, the God of the universe. You are the one who sent his only Son into the world, not to commend the world, but to save the world. How glad we are that you sent Jesus to save us. How glad we are that you knew each of us before we were even born. How glad we are that you know way more than we do, that you do not make mistakes. So we know that you handpicked the families that we would be born into, even though sometimes we daydream that you should have put us into a richer family or someplace in a faraway city. We know you do not make mistakes, but we make mistakes. Sometimes it's just because we are not thinking, and at other times we intentionally do something wrong. So we now ask for your forgiveness for the sins we have committed and will commit into the future. We are so grateful that your word is true in 1 John 1:9, that is where you say that if we confess our sins, you who are faithful and just will forgive us and cleanse us. What an amazing God we serve in you. You love us so much that you made a way for us to have a relationship with you through Christ Jesus. And if that wasn't enough, you have given us the Holy Spirit as a guide and counselor to show us the way. That's what we ask for this morning. Lord God, for you to show us the way. We are young. We are learning. We may know we do not have all the answers, but you do. Just like David may not have all the answers about what to do when the giant Goliath was bullying everybody, he did know that something needed to be done. In your name and to your glory, he was able to come up with a plan. In just name and to your glory, he was able to come up with a plan. And just like David was able to take down a giant, we know that through your power, we can take down what might seem like a giant in our lives. In fact, when Jesus was on earth, he said in John 14:12 that as believers in him, we would do great works. Now then, as believers and followers of Jesus, this is what we ask, that you will guide us through the Holy Spirit into all truth. And this way, no one will ever be able to trick us into foolishness, like taking a drug or holding a gun or lying against anyone. We also ask that by way of the Holy Spirit, you will give us the power to do good works according to your will. Lord, our fathers, Lord, our lives are precious. You made us for a reason, so we do not want to be lazy and inattentive. We want to be about your business. If we need to speak about a dark secret that a bad person told us to not talk about, we ask for your help. By the power of the Holy Spirit, give us the courage to speak up. Lead us to an adult who will listen and who will act. We may not know how to judge these things, but we know you can. Thank you for everything you have done and continue to do. You love us and we love you right back. You said the way to show you that we love you is by being obedient. So we will do what you say to do, and we commit to reading the scriptures so we know what it is you want us to do. Bless all my fellow kids all around the world. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen, little Princess Aubrey. We appreciate you. We thank you for praying and making our request known to God. We appreciate you. Love you. Have a beautiful day. Okay. Hey, you guys. So far, we are having a great time this morning. I am truly enjoying the service, and I hope you are too. With more to come, I just want to say, first, I want to just say thank you to all the youth that served today. Train up a child. Our little prince and princesses, Kennedy Fagans, Jackson Fagans, Aubrey Drake, for their, just thank you for your service. And remember, just please keep our youth lifted up in prayer. They will be all right, okay? And then I just want to thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person for this Saturday worship experience. And if you have enjoyed the service and be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Be the reason someone smiled today. Share the love, joy, and the blessing. Amen. Okay, time for the preach word. Also, we want to just continue to bless and love the Runner for Christ Ministries for this Runner for Christ Ministries family for 20 years of service to the Lord. Happy anniversary, Runner for Christ Ministries. Thanks for the love. Okay, so it's time for the preach word, a message from God, the best part icing on the cake. The next voice you will hear following this song selection is Man of God, Minister Richard Overall from the Word of Faith Church. Prepare to receive Minister Richard Overall as he comes in his own way with the word from the Lord. Amen.
Holy, holy.
Let us bow down before the Lord God, our Maker. Let's get intimate, yo. Let's worship Him.
Cast down my crown to worship you in spirit and truth. As I see you on the throne, I see your train fill the roof. I'm on bended knees, hands extended, closed eyes. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord the Most High. Woe is me, I'm a man with unclean lips. And I live amongst the people who's on the same trip. There was Sarah flew to me, with coal in his hands. Touched me on my lips, said I was a brand new man. As the foundation shook, he's asking, who shall he send? I said, send me, Lord, I'll commit to faithful men. Sometimes, Lord, I feel like I don't give you enough to count of your joy, to persevere when times get tough. So I keep a concentrated relationship fixed on you. I keep my eyes to the hills so I can have a right view. I stand in awe of you, how you measure the earth with the palm of your hand, and yet and still you want to be friends with such an unclean man. So like John, I fall prostrate on this island of life. I worship you, recognizing you in power and might, glory and life, eternal in sight, blameless and right, creator of life, thief in the night, Jesus the Christ.
I see the Lord seated on the whole
my head. Divine works all around me. I can't get past the evidence. The fact that you're invisible to me is irrelevant. I know you're heaven sent straight to the virgin birth. Gave me a second chance even after man's curse. A third, a fourth, a fifth, and a sixth. You wore my crown of thorns. You took my licks as they spit in your face. Off the cross of sin and you embraced. Now I understand what's the meaning of grace. I war against the flesh, can't wait till the day that you come. Cause every day I'm rewriting Psalm 51. From the weak to the dumb, you make us shine like pearls. Got a new engagement, broke up with that girl named World. The relationship wasn't fruitful, I was Satan's pupil. They told me you was an unfair God, I believe those lies. I know the truth now, cause you've been fair since creation. Man failing and you gave man emancipation. I know the saying, one sin can make man fall. But with one drop of blood, he can save us all. I'm a living sacrifice, I lay my life up on the altar. I pray to have faith that don't forsake you like a martyr. I have a desire, that's to know you more. I have no choice to live holy, cause I see the Lord. Full of his glory, and the foundations of the threshold tremble at the voice of him who called out. While the temple was filled with smoke, I said to myself, woe is me, for I am ruined, because I'm a man with unclean lips, and I live amongst the people with unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one seraphim flew to me with burning coals in his hands. He touched me on my lips. He said, my iniquity is taken away and my sins forgiven. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send? Who will go for us? Then I said, here I am. Send me.
Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. Welcome to the Runner for Christ Saturday broadcast, saints and friends. Amen. It's an honor to be here sharing today. Amen. Giving honor to Christ who is the head of my life and Pastor O. Amen. Pastor Gerald Overall, the pastor of Runner for Christ Ministries and his lovely wife Sheila and the saints and friends. Amen. I say praise the Lord. You know, y'all need to pray for Pastor. He needs to be a DJ. Young folk need to hear his music. Amen. You know, while I'm listening to that song, I'm thinking about in my mind of cruising on my roller skates while to the beat of the gospel. You know, I tell you, we live in great times. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I just thank God for this opportunity. Amen. So, amen. We're going to get right into the word. Amen. I've been enjoying the service thus far, particularly listening to that young lady pray. You know, that's the future. Amen. And that's why, you know, when I hear people say that we're losing all our young people, I'm like, no. We're not losing them. We're not losing them. That little 3% that you see about on the news does not account for all of them. Amen. Hallelujah. There is revival going on. Hallelujah. Let us go before the throne of grace. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you and bless you, amen, for this marvelous opportunity to come before your people. Father God, we're asking right now that you would bless us with the intelligence of your wisdom in the revelation of the knowledge of Jesus. We ask that you bless the eyes of our understanding to be more enlightened, that we will better understand what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the inheritance you have in the saints, the great and exceeding power that you've made available to those of us that submit and obey you. Father God, we're asking that you bless us continually with the knowledge of your will and giving us the strength and the courage to carry it out and to be fruitful in every good work approved of by you. Father God, we ask that you bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. We ask right now that you bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people and even my own. And we thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. You know, as I was listening to that young lady pray, and I thought about it, I had sought the Lord and asked you, what am I going to share? What do you want me to share today? And the title of it is Being Led of the Spirit or Learning to Walk in Love Consistently. You know, and it's amazing how well, you know, I mean, and the heart of her prayer was, lead us, Lord. Amen. And Jesus said, if you become as a child, that's what the kingdom of God is. See, you know, I mean, and that's the whole point of life. I mean, even beginning in the garden, you know, I ain't going to say it disturbed me, but sometimes when you hear the discussion, and I've gone down that path, and then I stopped about how Adam was perfect. Well, you know, being realistic about it, that was only going to be temporary. You know, this is no surprise to God, okay? His whole point was for us to develop into the being that he created us to be. And see, the problem is that, think about this. When you look at Genesis 2, verse 7, see the intelligence of God being placed in some clay. I mean, think, contemplate that. See, you know, I recently began to read, and I don't just read. When I read, I consult God. You know, I have a phrase, don't read the Bible without asking God for revelation. Don't read a book about the Bible without asking God for revelation. And don't watch a video, whatever you do. Always consult God about it. Prayer is essential because it's saying, God, you're important. Your opinion is important. That's what's significant about life. Because those that don't believe in God haven't reached that revelation and come to that conclusion. Now, and it's structured because this is complex. I mean, really, when we look at what happened in Genesis 2:7, it doesn't look as large as it is. It doesn't look as deep as it is. It looks as though God just went poof, and that created man. No, it's a lot deeper than that. He put his spirit. See, God was wise enough to know, had he not put that capsulation, had not built that body, had not built that soulless realm, he would have created a challenge for himself. There would have been two gods. I know that's a lot for y'all to chew on and bite on, but you don't have to take my word because you really need to ask God about that. Because what man is failing to understand, and we're seeing this tremendously today, is our nature, which is made after God. See, even today, I hear a lot about the image of God. And the commentaries, all the commentaries that I have ever read, it always seems to make it sound as though the image and likeness of God in Genesis 1:26 is the same thing. It absolutely is not. And we're seeing it in the Word. What did God do? He made the image from clay, but the likeness came from his very own breath. Those are two different parts because we see them separated at the point of death. We know that people give more credence to what Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes, and according to Solomon, who hadn't experienced death thought that once a person died, they just lying there inside that body. But then we know that body crumbles back into dust. I've seen the dust, okay? You know, they had a display once down at the Art Institute here in Detroit, and it was from Egypt. Well, see, listen, unless they mummify you, which they did, it's amazing that they did that for their own reason, you turn into dust. You know, that's just a part of the process. Why? Because the life force that God breathed into Adam, which was transferred to each and every individual, has left and gone. Now the ones that were washed in the blood of Jesus went to heaven, okay? And they're, you know, they're yet in training up there, you know. And I base this on the commentary on the fact that people that God has taken over there on a tour and shown them what has happened. And I imagine throughout history that God has done this quite frequently, because I'm reading some material of some other commentaries, even though, as I've always said, books that were left out of the Bible can't tell you more than what's in the Bible. And I'm right about that. They can give you some details, some background, but they won't tell you more. They won't tell you what we're talking about, how to be led in the Spirit. You'll see the same, everything that I've read is already accounted for. But anyway, sticking to this subject, being led of the Spirit right now, in this time in history, it is crucial, very crucial, to be led of God. And again, that was God's intent. We don't know what God, we're not here for our plan. That's the first thing you got to eradicate out of your mind. I know we can pursue and possess things that exist, but see, ultimately, it's about God's plan, okay? That how he structured life. And right now, on the top of his list is the redemption of man. And that is accomplished through prayer. You know, I saw something on Facebook the other day that made perfect sense to me. It said God didn't say tell people to come to church. He told people to come to Christ. See, and I get that done in the backseat of my car. And oftentimes, I'll never forget, not too long ago, I met two young ladies, they got in my car smelling like smoke, okay? But that didn't stop me from ministering to them, because I know what that's like. I've been on that side. But I also know what they don't know. They don't know the experience of the Holy Spirit, see? And this is the why it's so crucial. You need to know, because some people, at death's door. And if you come across them, because, see, I'm not omnipresent, so I'm not going to be everywhere. Each of us have a path of life. And we're supposed to now, more than ever, be concerned about people's lives and their eternity. It's not my job to convince anybody. So don't get, let Satan talk to you, they won't believe you. Your job is to plant that seed. You know, Paul said in the book of Corinthians, I believe chapter 3, he said, one plant the seed, another one water the seed, but God giveth the increase, okay? He knows how what they're dealing with. You don't know. So our beginning scripture is going to be in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. A very should be familiar scripture. I know it is for most people that read their Bible. And it reads as thus. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, ladies, I know they tend to, they've been into this thing, you know, about this machoism and all that. Listen. The Bible, you know, it doesn't matter. Son of, okay, I'm the son of Robert. I don't know whether to call him Robert Edward or Robert Joseph Overall. I'm going to just say Robert Overall. Okay, if you've never seen him, and I tell you he's my father, then you know he exists, because I didn't just appear out of nowhere, all right? Amen. So now, so when you see Son of God is manifestation of God, that's my definition of it, okay? Put an asterisk by that, say, Brother Overall. So but this is illustrated, and it's really amazing. We carry tremendous power. You know, part of my prayer is the great and exceeding power that you've made available to them that submit and obey you. Because you don't give power to people that's just going to abuse it. And we've witnessed that. Again, that goes right back to the gun. All the way through the Bible, you'll see a constant of whether people will submit to God or disobey God. The vast majority disobey. Sad, but that's the true reality. Jesus said when the rapture comes, half the people going to be, half the Christians going to be left down here. You know, that I get from the parable of the 10 virgins, okay? 5 were ready, 5 were not. And I see that now because Satan has marketed idolatry to the degree that people just go to sleep thinking about stuff. And the thought of God only enter into their mind when they think about what they're going to wear for Sunday to show off at church. You know, I've seen a change in all the churches, and big and small, and that is a change in the way people dress. And, you know, some churches have always been that way, but in the, I would have to say, quote, I don't even like using the term, but in the black church, it was like a fashion show on Sunday, and people would literally not go to church. You know, that would be one of the biggest excuses for men. I don't have a suit to wear, so I ain't going to church. Well, God kicked that out, you know. I like what he did with Pastor O and many other pastors. They don't wear suits and ties. Amen. Hallelujah. They're holding office. But see, they're not there for show. They're there for go. Amen. And see, again, so that God kicked that out. So now you got to live this thing. You can't just look this thing. And that's what he is talking about. So that comes down to you want to make this a consistent application to every decision you make. Now, that's why you have to read the Word of God, particularly for married folks. Being led of the Spirit means you may have to shut your mouth when you want to say something. And I know for some of us, that's not easy. But that says, And what Satan trips people at is with their egos, okay? And they won't, you know, and he'll push that up forward. You won't let them say that and just get away with that and all that. No. What does God say? See, in the garden, Jesus had, Adam had a what would Jesus do moment. When Eve offered him the fruit, he should have snapped it out of hand. You know God told us not to eat that. Why are you going to do that? You know, why are you going to? We got it good here. You know, we got it made in the shade triple grade, and you're going to mess it up like that. You know, don't pay no attention to that, dude. Now, see, the reason why I give Adam leeway is because he didn't know that the devil was the devil. Okay, there's people now don't know that the devil is the devil. They think a lot of these evil folks are good. And that's something. That's really tremendous how that has come to pass. That which is good is evil, and that which is evil is good. A key case. You know, this big promotion of homosexuality and as though it's being less than less of a sin than adultery and fornication and lying and stealing. They are all sins, okay, in the eyes of God. Okay? So, but the point of the matter is now what would change a person's mind? And that is being led of the Spirit. Now, in our case, unlike everybody in the Bible, we had a Bible. Now, this is my next key point is that we don't have no excuse. We don't have no excuse. Go with me to Acts chapter 17 because this is something. And you know, the Lord put this on my heart. Amen. When I was talking the other day, talking about enduring to the end, and understand what is happening in this particular instance, Paul is, and at that time period, now, we're talking about back in the days of Jesus, okay? There was no Running for Christ broadcast on the radio for them to listen to. There was no Dixon Bible Bookstore. I know a lot of y'all have no clue what that is. But it used to be a tremendous bookstore that was Carl Dixon. Amen. That's why I went and got all my books. I used to visit there like, you know, people visit jewelry stores. It was that rich, man, I'll tell you. But, all right, so the point of this aspect of this thing is you got to realize that you don't, God is, one, first off, Jesus said we're going to give account for every deed done in the flesh. We're going to give account for it, but praise his name, Jesus paid for it. Oh, my. I'm so glad I don't have to pay for everything I have done in the flesh since I've been saved. Man, I'm going to tell you one of the keys to not being depressed. Don't look back. Look forward. Don't look back. If you're depressed, quit looking back. Look forward. Amen. Again, ask God to show you your future. Amen. The devil keeps trying to show you your past. He's showing you where he tripped you up. Just keep going. Man, I'm still here. What you talking about? If you had won, I wouldn't be here. But he ain't won. All right. So now, Paul, Jesus came, died, resurrected. Church just started. Now, when I mean church, I mean Christianity just started. And, you know, but I'm not going to teach on that aspect. We're talking about being led of the Spirit. And the key thing here that you wanted to take away is tune in your accuracy. Have proper knowledge of how this life works. Now you have access to God. That the Holy Spirit that you have is not a lesser spirit than God Himself. And the more I think about that, it's head shaking. That he is not, because you can't just do everything that he's capable of, you know, does not mean he's less of. I'm telling you, that's a gross mistake that people make. They go by their feelings. They go by what they see. Now, you need to know what the word is saying. There is think about it. The spirit that God gave Adam was just the spirit of man, and it has the full capacity to do the things that God did. You see that through the word. This is why you have to read the word. I mean, there are a lot of fantastic things. I've seen things, man, I'm telling you, it's just awesome. And now you got the booster power, okay? It's like going from 110 volts to 220. It's the difference. It's double. It's far beyond that. And that is why God insists that we learn to be under his leadership. That means what we say, what we do. And that's challenging in this day and age, because Satan puts stuff out there to make us want stuff that really is not for us. You know, it's a time. Everything has to be done in accordance with God. But anyway, it says, Paul reading in Acts 17 and verse 23, so, for as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with the inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him I declare unto you. God that made the world and all the things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth and dwelleth not in temples made by hand, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and have made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the earth, and have determined the times before appointed, man, that's awesome, and their bounds and habitations, that they should seek the Lord, if haply might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, and as certain of also of your poets have said, for we also are his being. For as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the God here is like unto gold and silver and stone and graven art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Change, repent, turn around. Repent is 180 degrees, not 360 degrees, I've heard people say. And turn you right back to where you're going. Listen, the key of life is your mind and your actions need to be focused on what would God do? What would Jesus do in every situation? Because it's about his agenda, not ours. And as a reward, God will bless you. Trust me, he will bless you for doing that. Because, again, we're talking about going forward in life. You got to look at the whole picture of this thing. This is not, you're not working to get to heaven. Your heaven is paid for. That room, that board, that mansion, that's paid for. Jesus said so. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. And that's something that people need to see God about, what that actually means. But anyway, so if that's paid for, so why then all the challenges of life? Why do I even have to be led of the Spirit? Because you're going to be subject to God for eternity, not for a few months and weeks. You're not going to sit in the Bahamas on the beach drinking Mai Tais. I never had one, but that's the thing they do, they tell me. Okay? No, you will be enjoying life to a degree that all these things that we think give us joy will be so far beneath it that it can't even compare. I mean, you look in the book of Revelation, how you gonna listen? Okay, I'm not gonna get on y'all, but time out today and read Revelation chapter 21 and 22. It's gonna blow your mind. You're gonna look at it. It sounds like Disney World, but see, and they try to recreate it with Disney World, but that's the real life. That's ultimately the goal. You got to think about all that comes with that. Okay, you don't have to worry about a health care plan because you'll never get sick. You don't never have to worry about a food source because you'll never be hungry, never run out of anything. I mean, you can have life with total goodness all the time. And, you know, I'm going to kind of miss night because it's kind of interesting in the change that it brings about, but there won't be no night. There won't be no night. The glory of God will just bring bright all day, you know, no shadow, you know, and. You know, I was listening to a man of God the other day talk about the fact that he looked forward to the fact that he will be able to be face-to-face with Jesus. Man, that is, you know, I let my imagination roam sometime and see with me. I'd be roller skating with Jesus out through the universe. you got to get the full impact of that, man. I'm telling you, there's nobody. I remember when I was a young boy, as I began to grow older, I used to really enjoy going to see my grandfather. I mean, all my grandparents, on my mother and my father's side, that was to me like going to Hollywood. Going to see older people was a joy, you know. One was they always had mints in their pocket and they gave you one or a nickel or something. But I don't know, it just thrilled me. I don't know why people, if the whole world was like me, Hollywood would be bankrupt because of all that stuff, man. It's just, I try to watch movies and I'm like, man, this is insulting. You know, all of it's the same thing. You know, how many movies, I've only seen one series where they try to indicate a bright future. And even that, they get it wrong. But still, all the rest of them, they have this dystopian future where everything goes wrong. But let me get back to the point. Right now, what's key factor right now? Prayer. Number one, you know, a number of us are not praying. All this happening, it is happening from simply the result of the lack of prayer. The war in Ukraine, lack of prayer. The storms, lack of prayer. I know it seems that ain't the case, but that is exactly the case. See, anything that is not in order can be stopped. I'm confident of that. You know, I mean, I put this thing in practice for years before I began to talk about it because it's one thing to say it, it's another thing to do it. Now, I'm looking at some other things, too. See, with being led of the Spirit, it comes down to really, it's a challenging area because God deals with, he won't deal with you exactly in the exact same manner that he deals with me. There are some things that are alike. One is your decisions are based on the result of peace in your spirit. Now, understand your spirit is in the center of your being, okay? Not in your head. Don't your head. It's the center of your being, right? I would say right where your heart is, right under your breastbone, right in there. You've experienced that where it didn't feel right in there. People call it what, a gut feeling? Well, that gut feeling where your spirit is actually at. It's not in your head.
See, the way it goes is your spirit sends information at a very high rate of speed to your brain, and your brain communicates with the outside world. See, God speaks to your spirit. Your spirit, you speak to the world through this flesh apparatus that he created, that he designed, okay? And this is how things work. There's a lot of components to this, but the main thing is that we're here to learn how to respond according to God's will. Now, God's will is his word. You know, people say, I don't know the will of God. Well, try reading it. I mean, it's not deep. Because trust me, let me tell you one thing about being called to the ministry. He won't stop. I mean, you'll go to sleep, you'll wrap the pillow around your head, he'll just tell you. He'll lay it out for you. You know, my time is just now really coming. Really is. Because I knew from the onset, from day one, that I was called to teach, not to, quote, preach or pastor for the most part. And back in the time, the 70s, a lot of church organizations had not learned to discern that. And it took a while. But I remember the resistance back then. And it's amazing. They were criticizing them. I'm like, how do you criticize somebody and the words say study to show yourself approved? I mean, come on. I mean, come on now. There's a time and a place for everything. But this all comes back to what? The leadership wasn't consulting God. You know, there's an incident in the Bible, in the book of Acts, where they were challenging the disciples as they were bringing forth the birth of the church. And there was a one of the spiritual leaders of the opposition named Caiaphas. And he made a very wise statement. He said, y'all have to oppose this. He said, because if it's of God, you can't stop it. If it's not of God, it will stop on its own. I mean, you look at all the vast empires that have come and gone throughout history that you read about in books, they weren't of God. As simple as that. The Roman Empire wasn't of God. It had some indicators, but it wasn't of God. They chose to worship idols and other things. So you want right now to be clear about that. And some things are basic. You need to be, people get saved because we pray for them to get saved. God don't just move on them until we pray for them. He authorized us as a priesthood. That's in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5-9. He authorized that. Matter of fact, pray for me because I just completed my book called The Royal Priesthood. It's part of my original book, The Millennial Guide to Christianity Without Religion. And the reason it's titled that is because religion was not God's invention. That was man's invention. That all these, to be technically, to be a Baptist, you have to be older than Jesus. People don't understand that. He was the forerunner of Christ. He came before Christ. And you didn't, you ain't. I understand how the name emerged and all that and all these different titles. But again, there it goes. Lack of consultation with God, because it's not in the Bible. Even the name Christian was given to some Jews by some Gentiles. Think about that. God made it stick. You see, that's why you consult with God. Is it God is all right to be called a Christian? You say, yeah, I'm good with that. Because it says my position in the kingdom of God. As a Christian, I have authority with God. Now, listen, going to church don't make you a Christian, okay? You have to ask Christ to come into your heart as your child, and you link them through your family. And that's, you got questions about that, ask Pastor, so explain it to you. Okay? But, amen, and this is something very critical. Amen, praise God. Thanks. Teach your children. Lead your children into a prayer. See, kids, they'll get into the supernatural. They're thrilled about it. One of the challenges, I was listening to Pastor O as I was coming on, and I've encountered this out there doing my Uber ministry, of a young lady that told me how the world and the anxiety that she's experiencing. And see, I go out there prepared with stuff, but see, the key to that is knowing, having an assurance of God. And the assurance is knowing how to access the power of God. See, because if you tell a child to get up every morning, they get up to command angels to encamp around about them, they won't forget. We have so much going on in our minds and lives that we tend to think logically. Come on, ain't no logic in Christianity. The only logic is do what the word say do, how it say do it, when it say do it. That's the only logic. Once you get out to past that, you know, there's no logic. That makes sense. Listen, God is creating a race of his own beings. That's the best way to put that, you know, a race of his own beings. When you die, you leave this body. You become the fullness. I mean, come on now. We do not take dead people to Cape Canaveral and launch them out into space. They leave the body. An angel gets them. They help them get their bearings and show them the way to heaven because they had to go to the throne and report in. Think about that process. Now, think about it, because that actually happens. There's evidence in the Bible about that. You got to read the Bible. It shows you life after death, okay? And then I got again, like I said earlier. So you really want to be fine-tuned. But, see, leading your children into that prayer of salvation gives them authority in the earth as an individual. See, God honor faith. He honor child faith. Children faith. Man, I love them. They'll pray in a heartbeat because they believe. That's natural. It's natural. I remember being a child, and that's why Jesus said, except you become as one. Amen. All right? And, again, you really want to be, because, again, this is going to be crucial. There are certain times, particularly now, certain areas that I don't go to. See, you want to be led of the Spirit because, see, we'll get this. I'm going to be protected no matter what. No, that is not the case. I really need to make that important, unless you're a law enforcement officer and you've been ordered to go somewhere, okay? There are certain areas God will tell you not to go. Why? Because there may not be enough Christians that he can tap into praying to bring about the level of angelic protection you'll need to be in that environment at that specific time. See, that's a lot of things people need to understand. See, there's still resistance in the body of Christ of how to pray. You know, I've had to learn that when God wants me to just pray for a few minutes throughout the day at his specific request, okay, he said, I hear music. no big thing. Because it's not even common for me. And I had to learn about that. Now, I don't have time to explain why he chose that pattern for me. But, see, that's how he deal with me. And then, and sometimes you get, if it's critical, I'll get what they call an unction in the spirit. It's a direct connection of a higher level. And you can almost hear, so you need to pray. See, this is why praying in the spirit is so essential because, see, I don't need to know who, what, when, and where, and why, but God does. So this, again, so if your spirit is not at peace, you need to be aware of that. You need to learn how to gauge that. Amen. Hallelujah. But anyway, so I don't know where we are in time, Pastor, but anyway, so right now, That's what the main thing right now is, to be in tune with God. Be in tune with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because, and that's another thing too, if you make it a lifestyle not to be in tune when you need to be in tune, you may not hear what you need to hear at the time you need to hear it. You know, you have to remember God is a person. He has feelings. He has emotions. Amen. And sometimes we tend to disregard him as mighty as he is. We are privileged, saints. We are privileged beyond our possible imagination. Amen. So you really just, anyway, you really want to go by the word of God. You definitely want to do that. Amen. Y'all have to bear with me right now. Because, see, again, you have instances throughout the Bible, amen, to that show you that. That's throughout the Bible. I mean, all the way through. Starting with Adam,
Amen. Cain, obviously, but not led of the Spirit of God because he killed his brother. Amen. Noah, amen, was a man that followed God. Amen. God led him. I mean, you got to look at what he was doing. He was building a boat. He had to go to, you know, he had a one-on-one architecture class with architecture and engineering class. Tell by the Lord God Almighty. You know, think about this. He didn't, you know, wasn't no boat. Well, he couldn't go down to the London boat docks and say, you know, I need y'all to build me a boat, here's the specifications. And he just had to believe God to do that. I mean, all the way through the processes, he had to believe God. And so you really want to be, because right now we are at the close of time. One thing I can say, and I understand that, because the Bible gave us an outline of the last days, you know, and because we know what time it is because of the events that's going on, that we are at the last minute. I can't key point the rapture because it's at any moment. It's at any moment. And you want to be found doing the will of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So that's where we at on that.
Amen. Awesome word. Amen. Let me get that subject one more time so I'm sure I got it right.
It's called being led of the Spirit, or learning to walk in love consistently.
Amen. Thank you, Richard. We appreciate you, and let your pastor know we appreciate him sharing you with us. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. And now we're going to have announcements with Crystal.
Good morning. Hey, everybody. It is Saturday morning. It's the last Saturday in the month of April. I just can't say how awesome it was to hear Minister Richard Overall today, okay? Y'all, he had to be super, super, super condensed today because he has his own hour on Tuesdays. But to hear what he said today, the message is clear, okay? Be in tune with God. Time is running out. We are at the end. So at this point, you need to be reading your word, in tune with God, so you know what to do, know what to say, how to conduct yourself when God says to do something, okay? We don't know. Kids don't know what to do unless their parents tell them, okay? We have to read the word of God, and we have to be in tune with the Lord, and we have to be in tune with what the Lord is telling us so we know how to move. Okay, we got to know how to move and groove in this world, and the only way that we know the will of God is by reading the word of God. Amen. So, Minister Richard, it was so, you know, y'all don't, we haven't heard him here on Blog Talk Radio in a very long time, but I just feel like he's like a waterfall, like his cup is just constantly filled, and it's just constantly overflowing, and that's how he ended up with Tuesday on Blog Talk, okay? So we are just so thankful to have heard him here again in our Saturday morning worship service. It was an awesome word, and it was short, sweet, and to the point. Be in tune with God, amen? Read his word so you know what his will is for your life, amen? Amen. So, again, happy Saturday to everybody. I just want to say it's Youth Saturday. Oh, my God. So those who know me know that I am like ridiculously emotional, like on an almost unhealthy level. I will cry, okay? I will cry at the easiest things. So when I'm listening to Kennedy this morning and Jackson, my rock star, y'all should see the kids and our junior praise team, as we call them. They come in and they line up and they sing that song that we sing at the end, and it is just a wonderful blessing to see. And just like Minister Richard Overall said, you know, we hear so many things going on about our kids and so many bad things happening, but it is really, truly just a small percentage of the volume of children that we have in this world. God is doing some awesome things with our kids, amen? And to hear them, Kennedy, Jackson, Aubrey, to come on and to be reading the word, they may not even fully understand, and they don't fully understand what they're reading, because even as adults, we don't fully understand what we're reading, but they read it. And the Lord sees that. And there was a celebration going on in heaven with these little babies reading the word. So if they can do it, we should be able to do it. Amen. So it was just so wonderful to hear the children. I lost my contact when Kennedy was reading and Jackson was reading. I'm like, Lord, now I got to try to find my contact because I was just crying. It was just so sweet to hear. Amen. And it's such a blessing that we do have those children at Run for Christ Ministries who can come on and read the word of God. Amen. So it was just a beautiful thing to hear. So just by way of a couple of announcements, Sunday, okay, tomorrow, April 30th, the last Sunday of the month, we will be closing out our 20th anniversary. Amen. We have been 20 years strong in the Lord. Running for Christ Ministries, I say this all the time, is small, but we are mighty. Amen. And so the Lord has blessed us over the years. I've been privy to be part of the family for 14 years, and Running for Christ Ministries has truly transformed my life. So we just love you all, and we thank you all for everything that you all have done for us over the years, and we are just so grateful to have been able to celebrate 20 years in service to Christ. Amen. So tomorrow, again, we will be closing out our 20th anniversary. We're going to have our services on Blog Talk Radio. Okay, our very own Pastor Jonathan Tate is going to be bringing the word tomorrow. Our worship service begins at 10 a.m. So again, yes, this Sunday, tomorrow, we will be on Blog Talk Radio for our service. And our in-person service at River Rouge High School in the LGI Auditorium will resume on May 7th. So don't get up and get dressed and go to River Rouge High School tomorrow morning because we won't be there. We'll be on Blog Talk. Amen. So make sure you can adjust your alarm however you see fit and just set yourself a reminder to tune in tomorrow morning on Blog Talk Radio at 10 a.m. for our Sunday worship service. Amen. Amen. Again, also as a reminder that every Tuesday at 4 p.m., Minister Richard Overall, you heard him here today, is on Blog Talk Radio with his series Training Day. So if you want more, like he basically just kind of, if you guys have never heard him before, he used to come on Saturdays on Blog Talk Radio, a lot of times fourth and fifth Saturdays a while ago. But he's been on Blog Talk Radio on Tuesdays with his hour. It's been a good little minute now. So if you have never heard him before, you're new to listening to Run for Christ Ministries on Blog Talk Radio, that right there is like a little nugget to make you want to listen, amen, every Tuesday at 4 p.m. to Minister Richard Overall with his series Training Day on Blog Talk Radio. Amen? Amen. Also, do not forget, every Wednesday at 6 p.m., we have our Bible reading class going on here on Blog Talk Radio. Joel chapters 1 through 3 will be taught by Naomi Carter this Wednesday. Questions are available online at our church website, rfcm.org. If you're on pastor's email list, they'll get sent out to you in the email as well. So make sure to tune in on Wednesdays for class. Also, every Friday, 7 p.m., our own presiding person, Deaconess Kathy Clyburn, is on Blog Talk Radio with her show, Bring Back the Family. Amen. So don't forget to tune in and to support that. Also, as a new announcement, as we're going into the month of May, the entire month of May will be devoted to women and women preachers. Amen. But, of course, we're not going to leave you men out, all right? Men, you are invited, amen, and more than welcome to attend everything that we're having this month at Run for Christ Ministries that's focused on the women. All right, so the first Sunday in May, we will have Speaker Lauren Horton. She came last year to Run for Christ Ministries, young lady, awesome lady, powerful lady. The word that she brought was absolutely spectacular. So you definitely want to be in attendance, amen. So please invite your family and friends to support the women for the month of May, as every Sunday we will have a woman preacher bringing us the word. Amen? Amen. Okay, I know it's the end of April, but it's about to be May, so I'm just going to kind of roll this all in together. But we know that graduation season, okay, commencement season is sneaking up on us. You know, we got high school kids that are already going to prom, and depending on what state you live in, you may have already gone to prom. I've already seen prom pictures for kids like down south and in different parts of the United States. So we're coming up into commencement season, and so a lot of college graduates, they're already having commencement in late April, early May, because they tend to get out before the high school kids. So we are so excited to announce that our very own Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon, amen, will be graduating again from Davenport University. Amen. So her commencement is at Davenport University at the Grand Rapids location. It will take place on tomorrow, which is Sunday, April 30th at 2 p.m. You do not need any tickets to participate and celebrate her. So again, she will be graduating from Davenport University, the Grand Rapids location, on tomorrow, Sunday, April 30th. Commencement begins at 2 p.m. If you would like to participate or just be there in support of her, you don't need any tickets. Just drive on up to Grand Rapids, amen, and be there by 2 p.m. for commencement, amen. And we also have another graduation. Our very own young man, amen, at Run for Christ Ministries, and our local hometown hero, okay, Darius Freeman. If you guys didn't know, him and his brother Malachi went into a burning building to save a man who was in the house disabled. Amen. So it was in the newspapers and articles, and it's so awesome to see that because they belong to us at Run for Christ. Amen. So our own hometown hero, Darius Freeman, will be graduating from Dorsey College on May 8th. I feel like I heard his mom say he's going to be doing something as an electrician or something like that. Don't quote me, but I feel like that's what I heard the other day in Bible reading class. Nevertheless, he is graduating. Praise God. And we are so grateful. We're so thankful. Commencement is going to be for him on May 8th at 7 p.m. And again, we're just so excited for him, and we're very proud of him and his accomplishments. He's a young man. I saw that announcement, and I said, dang, wait a minute. Like, he just graduated high school, but time literally moves that fast. Amen. So, again, we're so very proud of him and his accomplishments. And so we congratulate him, and we love on him, and we say how proud of him we are. And we also congratulate his mother, Keela. Amen. Because it's hard work. Parenting is hard work. But he's an awesome young man. His brother Malachi is an awesome young man. And so we just congratulate him and the entire family for an awesome, awesome accomplishment. God has great plans for them. Amen. Amen. And so we also want to remind you to please remember that all of our classes and our services here on Blog Talk Radio are recorded, archived, and free. You can get your whole Christian life together. You can get touched up, convicted. You can start fresh, whatever it is that you want to do with Blog Talk Radio, starting all the way back to 2009 when it was just Pastor, his nerves, and the Word of God. Amen. Before we all came on here with him, it was just him. Amen. And we have progressed since 2009, and we are here now where you hear all types of different people as well as children on our services. Amen. So the Lord truly knows what he is doing. And thank God that Pastor O answered the call to do Blog Talk Radio from his nephew, John McFall, who's gone home to be with the Lord. And they were talking about child support. And that just started off as a super small conversation. And then Deaconess Kathy told Pastor O, you ain't got to be scared. Can't nobody see you. You can be at home in your pajamas. All we're going to do is listen to you. You do not have to stand in front of anybody and talk. And here we are today. Amen. So we're grateful for Blog Talk Radio. We're so thankful for them over the years. And like I said, you can go back to our church website, rfcm.org. You can get classes, services, jobs, books, resources. All of that is available to you for free. So see it, read it, use it, but most of all, be a blessing and share it with others. Amen? Amen. So if you would like to pay your tithes or give any offerings, again, rfcm.org is the church website. If you would like to give a love offering for Minister Richard Overall, who brought us a reminder word today to stay in the face of God, so you know what it is that you need to do, definitely go to our church website, rfcm.org. Just click on tithes and offerings and go down where it says that you want to give and just say, I want to give this love offering for Minister Richard Overall because he blessed my life today. Amen. And we will see to it that he receives it. Amen. So the Lord Jesus bless you in advance for your kindness and sharing with us and with him. Amen. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13 reads as follows. If I speak in the tongues of man or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now, we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And these now three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Amen. Amen. So we just want to continue to ask that you pray for everyone, everywhere, all of the time. Please keep Darius Freeman in your prayers. Deaconess Nicole Seabrooks, it was great to hear her on Saturday church school this morning. I'll continue to pray for Deaconess Lisa Thornton, Nico Gaston, Doris Gaither, Nakia Gaither, all caregivers all over the world, Elder Joseph Stevens and his family. Continue to pray for Alice Perry, Ed Johnson, Bernard Sumner, Reese, Mother Irma, and all of our mothers on the move at Run for Christ Ministries, Mother Cheryl, Mother Marilyn, as well as Mother Persia. Please also pray for all struggling families and children in need. Again, we have to remember to keep our children lifted up in prayer. And then pray for our government and all of the leaders of our country and our communities that have the rule over us. Please pray for all those who are bereaved, grieving, and mourning everywhere. Continue to pray for our very own Pastor Owen, Sister Sheila, and her sister Crystal, and their family in the loss of their brother and brother-in-law, Dwayne Norwood. Also, please pray, again, for Pastor Owen's sister Sheila's good friend, Reverend James O'Rear, and his family, as his sister Ida Mott passed away. Her services will take place on May 4th, so we do ask that you please keep his family in your prayers. And as well as another bereavement announcement, please pray for the Rogers Cowan family. I asked Reese, I know Avetrius had mentioned something to me a couple of weeks ago about one of the family members, and I did ask Reese, and she did say that it was her aunt. So please keep the entire Rogers and Cowan family lifted up in your prayers in the loss of their loved one. Amen. So happy birthday to all of the Blog Talk listeners all around the world who celebrated this past week, who celebrated this past month, or if you're celebrating today, the last Saturday of the month. Amen. Nedra Gaston celebrated her 18th birthday on the 12th of this month. She was the only birthday that I had this month that I knew of. There's probably other people at Running for Christ who got April birthdays. They just didn't want nobody to know. But that's okay. Jesus knows, and we tell you happy birthday as well. Amen. Amen. And so last but not least is your devotional for today, and it is entitled Conformed or Transformed. And this is by Pastor Jeff Shreve. You guys know I like to read his devotionals on Saturday because they're a little bit longer, but I have a little bit of extra time to get it out because they are awesome. Amen? And it reads as follows: and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. That's Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Many years ago, when I was still selling chemicals for Nalco Chemical Company, I was talking to a customer about her boss. She told me Dave's her boss, Dave does not speak evil of anyone. He is a true Christian. He lives it. How many true Christians do you know who really live it? The sad truth is this. While many claim to be born-again believers who go to church regularly, only a very few radiate the glory of Christ in their daily lives. Only a very few sincerely have the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him floating through them as they go about each day. only a very few are living their lives yielding to the Lord's transforming power. So why is that? Conformers. The Bible warns us about being conformed to the world. Without a doubt, the devil exerts pressure on us to conform, to go through the motions of Christianity, to exchange internal heart worship for external rituals, to exchange a life-changing relationship with Christ to a lifeless, check-the-box religion, and to be an outside-of-the-cup Christian, a whitewashed tomb that looks good on the outside but is rotten on the inside. Churches are filled with conformers. There are very few Daves, quote-unquote, to be found, but a Dave is what we are called to be, genuine and true. God wants us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds as we worship him in spirit and truth, and as we allow his word and his spirit, his Holy Spirit, excuse me, to convict us and change us from the inside out. So how can you tell? What are the telltale signs of a person being conformed versus a person being transformed? Number one, the transformed fear God. The conformed fear man. The transformed are concerned about what God thinks of them, while the conformed are consumed with man's opinion and approval. Are you living to please the crowd, or are you living to please Christ? Number two, the transformed are soft clay in the potter's hands, and the conformed are hard, stubborn, and rebellious. The transformed come to the Lord saying, "Search me, O God. See if there be any hurtful, evil way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." That's, chapter 139, verses 23 and 24. They want to be searched, convicted if going wrong, and changed. The conformed have no desire to be searched, convicted, or changed by God's word and God's spirit. They want their will and their way. They want to hear sermons that tell them they are doing great with no need to change a thing. Are you soft clay, desirous of the Lord to mold you into his image, or are you a hard-headed, stiff-necked, thinking you are doing just fine without much of any course correction needed? Number three, the transformed shine, the conformed wine. People who worship the Lord in spirit and truth are truly desirous to be transformed by him and see wonderful changes take place within them. As they walk with Jesus, they begin to radiate his glory. The sweet aroma of the knowledge of him begins to seep from their hearts. It is noticeable, and it is awesome to behold. The conformed, however, radiate nothing but the stench of self. Conformers gripe and complain about virtually everything. They don't rise and shine and give God the glory. Rather, they rise and whine and tell you the story. Let me tell you what's going on in my life. My boss stinks. My health is failing. My kids don't call. My church is awful. And my pastor needs to be fired. Lord have mercy. Are you a whiner or are you a shiner? And number four, the transformed win souls to Christ. The conformed don't. People who are allowing the Lord to change their lives from the inside out are attractive to unbelievers. The aroma of Christ on a person's life is indeed a sweet aroma. When all is falling apart and the transformed still have joy and peace, that gets people's attention. That perks their interest and makes them say, "I want what you have." The conformed, however, never win anyone to Christ. How could they? The stench of selfishness, discontentment, anger, and rebellion is not very attractive, is it? Are you winning souls by your life and by your lips? If not, why not? Could it be there is no transformation taking place within you? The time is now for Christians to get serious about transformation. Conforming to this world, going along to getting along, is not the Lord's way. Christianity is all about growth and change. John the Baptist put it this way. He must increase, but I must decrease. That's John chapter 3, verse 30. May that be the cry of our hearts as we seek him first and present our bodies as a living and holy sacrifice. Amen. Amen. Those are your announcements. Pen Pal just sent me a text message, and she said prayers, tequila, and Danielle. And I think I might have seen on my announcements, I'm not sure, I might have accidentally missed that Danielle Mackey might be graduating from college too. I'll have to get clarification on that, and I'll get back to y'all on that. Amen? Amen. Those are your announcements for real, for real. Amen.
Amen, for real, for real. hand. And, you know, and that is the perfect ending to the sermon that was preached, being in tune with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Being transformed. That is the whole thing, right? Mm-hmm. Going from, you know, the body part, just tell your body, we're going to do what Jesus says. It's Romans 6, right?
Amen.
And then the other part, we have to tell our minds, look, this is the way we used to do that. This is the way we're going to do that. I'm preaching again.
Mm-hmm.
Lord have mercy.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I'm supposed to be off and relaxing. Yes, but I'm preaching again. Again.
Amen.
Amen. Dan's going to be an electrician. And yes, Daniel is, I think, in a doctorate or a master's or one.
Okay.
Huh?
Amen.
Doctorate,
amen.
Yeah. Now, I can literally call her, I always call her Dr. Mackey. I can literally call her that.
for real.
Amen. I thank God for the kind of folks he done placed in Running for Christ Ministries. He knew the kind of help we would need, and that's what he did.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Crystal. Appreciate
you. You're welcome. Absolutely.
Amen. Tell Mira I say what's up.
Amen. As soon as he punched that clock and get off, praise the Lord, man. No work you don't need me, so be working.
I know my mama had that on the refrigerator.
Yes, sir.
Be blessed, my sister. Love you.
Amen. You too. Love you too.
Amen. Amen. We thank God for each and every one of y'all who tune in, and we pray that you were blessed today and pray that you learn to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. We definitely need that today. You know, I got a piece on YouTube called The Last Days. If you listen to that, you will literally see we are in the last days. As Minister Richard told me, my brother, look, Jesus could come back any second. Wait a minute. Oh, I thought that was Jesus. No, it wasn't him. He didn't come back that second, but he could come back any second. Are you ready? No, I'm not asking you, are you ready in the sense of, Jesus, are we preaching or are we off? I'm not asking you, are we ready in the sense of, I got saved and gave my life to Christ, and now I'm, amen, he saved my soul, fitted for the sky. That, you know, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, where it says, every one of us shall appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive rewards, right, for the deeds that we've done in this body, whether good or bad. And as you heard the preacher say, the bad stuff, thank God, Jesus died for that. But how much good stuff, if Jesus asked you right now, how much does he owe you for the service that you gave to him in this life so far? How much would you tell him? Amen. Or would he owe you anything? How many souls you led to Christ? I'm going to pay you for every one. Ain't that something Jesus did, all the work, and he's going to pay us? Amen. How many people did you teach in Christ to live better for him? Amen. I'm going to pay you for each one. How many people did you help in or outside the body of Christ? Galatians 6:10, as often as we have opportunity, right? Do good unto all, especially to those who are our brothers and sisters in Christ. How much does he owe you? If you haven't been doing any of those things, Jesus don't owe you anything. And when you get to heaven, you won't receive, like my brother-in-law, he went home to a triumph. Why? Because his whole life was given away in service. If your life is not given away in service to the Lord, then when you get home, it's like you had a job, but you didn't go. Still got the job, but you sure ain't getting no check. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. Thank you, Minister Richard Overall, for reminding us to get ourselves in tune with the Holy Spirit, not talk about Holy Spirit get in tune with us. We get in tune with him. He was first. We just came on the scene. Amen. So get in tune with the Holy Spirit this week and watch your life change. God bless you. God keep you. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And the whole church said, amen.
Everybody
say amen.
God
has spoken.
So let the church,
say amen.
Yeah. Can I get a witness?
Let the church,
oh,
say amen.
To what his plans are.
Let the church,
to what his word
say,
says.
Amen.
God has spoken.
God has spoken.
From the healing of your body,
amen,
to the raising of the dead,
amen,
no matter how you're feeling,
amen,
or how your world is reeling,
amen,
battle on through the night,
amen,
'cause you're gonna win the fight,
amen,
even in the valley,
amen,
or standing at your Red Sea,
amen,
continue to say,
amen,
'cause your help. Let the church say, oh, 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 lift your hands wherever you are and let the church.
Let the church say,
let the church say,